This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Cody Boston at Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. He brings us this message entitled, My Story. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 22. And now, Brother Cody Boston.
I do want to welcome you all again and say to our visitors again, thank you for coming our way. I know today, every Sunday is a special day when it's the Lord's, but it's also a special day when you think about celebrating Father's Day and celebrating our fathers. And when we had Mother's Day, we talked about the special bond between a mother and her child. And there is also a unique and special bond between a father and his child. And so to our fathers, we do want to tell you happy Father's Day and thank you for being the godly men that you are. This morning, though, we are going to go a different route in our discussion together. How many of you guys currently watch or have watched a show like America's Got Talent or The Voice or any of those kind of shows? All right, good deal. We love these shows for a lot of reasons, but one of those reasons is because they are so talented, right? When you hear these people get up and sing on The Voice or on America's Got Talent, and they have these amazing voices, or you see on America's Got Talent and shows like that, different things, different abilities, not just singing, but maybe they are magicians, or maybe they, I think there are people that get on and do kind of these different dances or whatever it may be, and you see all of these talented individuals coming together. Some people are stand-up comedians and come on those shows. And it's neat to see, and it draws us in, the talent that is present. But I would say that another thing that really draws us in, and we figure out who we're going to root for throughout the season, are the stories. Right? Right before they get up to audition, you have a section where they tell the story of the individual. And a lot of times, they're pretty moving stories. They're pretty powerful stories. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you have been following America's Got Talent this season, but on Facebook they keep posting all these different auditions. And one of the ones I saw in scrolling through my newsfeed was one of a girl named Mandy Harvey. And this girl was born and had a normal life, and when she's in high school, she's almost 18 years old, or I think she was 18 actually, she's sitting in music class. And all of a sudden, she realizes she can't hear her professor. And at the age of 18, she goes and finds out that she is going to be deaf for the rest of her life. And she loved music, and she loved to sing, she loved to play instruments, she loved to do it all. And now she can't hear any of it. And you can imagine the devastation that set in to begin with. Well, then she comes on the show, America's Got Talent, and not only is she going to sing as her talent, but she's going to sing a song that she wrote called Try. And it's about not giving up, but pushing through whatever adversity that we face. It could be a number of different things. Hers happened to be a physical ailment in that she couldn't hear any longer. But when she got up there, she took off her shoes so she could feel the vibrations on the floor. She said to teach herself how to find the right pitch, she couldn't hear it, but she would use an app on her phone that would pick up what she sounded like, and she could see where she needed to be. And when she opened her mouth and started singing, man, it was beautiful. I don't know if you saw that video, but it's stories like that that draw us in and just blow our minds. There's another story of a man named, and I'm probably mispronounced his last name, but the boy's named Christian Gardino. And also this year on the same show, and this guy was born, and something happened when he was really little, and he lost his sight. Didn't think he would ever see again. Long story short, they end up finding an experimental drug. He goes and takes that experimental drug, and he's laying there, and his mom says that he opens his eyes and looks over and says, Mom, is that you? And now he can see. And he begins to sing, and it's beautiful. And you hear stories like that, And then you think about your story. This morning I want to ask you the question, what's your story? We're going to think about that as we move through our lesson this morning. What is your story? But when we start to think about our story, and then we hear of people like Mandy Harvey, or we hear of people like Christian Gardino, or we hear of all the other people out there who have these stories that are just full of incredible adversity that they overcome. And then they have this great ability or this great talent, and they're able to succeed despite their adversity. And you look at all of that, and then you reflect on your story. And when I ask the question, what's your story? In your mind, you're probably already thinking, my story isn't inspiring. My story won't change anybody's life. My story won't be impactful for someone else. Let's put a pin there, and we'll come back to that towards the end. All this week at Gulf Coast Bible Camp, I was blessed to be there. And all this week we talked about this idea of stories and how everybody's story is important. Everybody's story is impactful. And we're going to talk about why as we move through the lesson. But this morning, as we think about stories, I want you to understand in the life of a Christian, there are three parts to your story. And honestly, if you're not a Christian, they're still the same three parts. They just look a little bit different. But in every person's story, you have the before Christ part of your story. Who you were before Jesus. Who you were before you heard about this Jesus that died for you. Then you have the middle part of your story that is the because of Christ part of the story. So you have before Christ, then you have the because of Christ part of your story. And at the because of Christ part, that's where you learn of Jesus. You learn of God and you learn of the church. And then you make a decision based on the because of Christ. And you're either going to live a life dedicated to Jesus based on what you've heard, or you're just going to keep going down the same path as the person you were before Christ. The ending is where the stories shift. They're either going to shift one direction or they're going to stay the exact same. And that's the after Christ. The third part's the after Christ part of your story. This morning, as we think about those three parts, and as you look at your handout, it looks different this morning because it doesn't have a complete outline of my lesson. That's because after we get through, your challenge, and notice I said after, okay? Your challenge is to go home and take that sheet and think about your story. Think about who you were before Jesus. Think about who you are because of Jesus, and then who you are now after that fact. And write those things down and watch your story come together. But this morning, we're going to look at a man by the name of Paul in Acts chapter 22. And we're going to look at the different parts of Paul's story. And then we'll reflect back on our own. The first part of Paul's story, let's look at the before Christ part of his story. If you look at verse number 1 of Acts 22. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul's before Christ part of his story is pretty dark. It's pretty dark. It's full of sin. It's full of error. It's full of misunderstanding. It says the whole time that what he did, he was very zealous in what he did. He believed it was what was right. He thought he was doing the right thing when he was persecuting these Christians. When he was standing there and holding the coats of the men who stoned Stephen in Acts 7, he thought that was the right thing. When he was taking men and women and throwing them into prison, he thought that was the right thing. He thought he had to do many things contrary to the will of God. The before Christ part of Paul's story is about as dark as you can get. He says, I was very knowledgeable, but I misunderstood. I was zealous about the wrong things. You can see that he was definitely a certain person in the before Christ section. Now let's pick up in verse number 6 and let's look at the because of Christ part of Paul's story. Look at verse number 6. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. Remember, he's on the way to Damascus and he says back up there, why was he going to Damascus? To continue in persecuting Christians. And so he's on his way to keep doing this sin, to keep doing this wrong and this evil. And as he was journeying to Damascus, verse number 7, and I fell to the ground because this great light shone around him. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they didn't hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Verse number 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is the because of Christ part of the story. Paul's on his way to continue in this persecution of Christians. A great light shines around him and he hears the voice of the Lord cry out, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he says, who are you, Lord? And then he tells him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you persecute. And then as he goes in this discussion, he is told to go to Damascus. And there it's going to be told what he must do. There it will be told him what he should do to please God. And so he's led there by the men who were with him because he's blind from the light. And he waits 3 days and then Ananias shows up. And Ananias tells him, God has chosen you. Up to this point, this is in all of our stories, we have this because of Christ moment. The moment where we understand and we realize Jesus has died for us, that we've been living contrary to Jesus, and that God has chosen us. And so this part is what we would call the turning point of the story. This is where Paul's story shifts, because he goes from a man who persecuted Christians to a man who preached the gospel. His because of Christ moment, he is baptized into Christ because of what Jesus did for him. Because God had chosen him. His response in that moment was obedience. And that is why we move to the final part of his life. And we're going to talk about the after Christ portion of the life of Paul. Look at verse number 17. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance. And saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And so I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart. For I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Paul was a man. When he was Saul, he was a man who persecuted and killed Christians. Who threw them in prison, men and women, it didn't matter. And then he hears of Jesus, and Jesus appears to him and tells him to not persecute him and to go to Damascus and await to be told what to do. And so he goes and waits, and he ends up being, he was obedient at that point because he went and waited. And then he was obedient when he was told to be baptized for the remission of his sins. And because of his obedience, it led to an after Christ portion of his story that was truly incredible. Because as you see here, the goal for Paul, his mission, was to go to the Gentiles and take the gospel of Christ with him. Did he succeed? You better believe it. He wrote many books of the New Testament, the same man who was persecuting the church. And remember, we talked about after he became a Christian, the reception of him was not very well. He was not well received amongst the Jews because of the way that he was before Christ. And so Barnabas is the man, if you remember, that we talked about that actually received Paul and was welcoming to Paul and was happy that Paul had obeyed the gospel. But then he goes on to do these amazing things. So you have a before Christ, a because of Christ moment, which if you obey and you're obedient to Christ, it is your turning point of your story. And then you have an after Christ portion of your story. Pretty simple, right? Just 3 points. Flow pretty well. So let's go to us. What about your story? And before you try to convince me that yours is not that great, that yours is vanilla, that yours is basic, that yours is no different than someone else who was raised in the church, before you try to convince me of that, let's just walk through the 3 parts of our stories. Let's talk about who we were before Christ. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 7 beginning. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 7 beginning. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither, and here comes a big list, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, verse number 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Look at that list. And then look at verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthian brethren. But brothers and sisters, that list applies to a lot of us as well. Before Christ, we might have been cheaters. Before Christ, we might have been thieves. We might have been mean and cruel and rude and hateful towards others. Before Christ, we probably were very selfish and more concerned about ourselves. Before Christ, we were very lustful and focused on the lusts of the flesh. But that's who we were before Christ. And sometimes, even after we obey the gospel and we are baptized into His blood, we can't forget about who we were before. And we latch on to it and think of how terrible of a person we used to be. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Some of us did not have a life full of the best decisions before Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and then we'll move to our second point here. As we continue to think about who we were before Christ, Romans 6 and verse number 6. Look at verse number 6 here. The Bible says this: knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Who were we before Christ? We were slaves to sin. slaves to sin. Drop down to verse number 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at verse number 14 as we continue in this same passage. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And then verse number 20. For when you were slaves of sin, there's that phrase again, you were free in regard to righteousness. So in this passage, we see the concept of an old man. We see the concept of being a slave to sin. That's who we are before Christ. So now let's take just a brief look at who we can be because of Christ. Look in this same passage at Romans 6, verse number 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Obeyed from the heart. What did Paul do when he had this realization that he was in sin? He obeyed what Christ told him to do. He obeyed when he was told to go to Damascus. He obeyed to be baptized into the blood of Jesus. He obeyed. When we hear this story of Jesus, what he did, that he died for me, that he took my sin and put it on his shoulders, and then he took this person's sin and put it on his shoulders, and everyone else's sin who has ever lived and put it on his shoulders, and then walked up to that hill and put that cross on the ground they put him on that cross, and he hung there and breathed on that cross in such pain because every time his back being opened from the beatings and the scourgings, it was just scraping against the splinters of the cross. And that's what he did for me. And he didn't even know me yet because I wasn't alive yet. And yet he died. When we hear that, we then are called to respond, like we talked about last week. Do we believe it's true, or do we think that it's just a fable? And if we believe it's true, then it will lead us and push us to obedience. Look at verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. 1 John 2, verse 2 on the screen. And he himself, we talked about this word last week, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And then chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the, again, propitiation for our sins. There's the because of Christ. Because of Christ, you don't have to keep being who you were before Christ. If you are willing to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, then your story can turn around. Your story can shift in a way that is wonderful. And then you think, okay, well, what about after Christ? What about the after Christ part of our story? Remember Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. We won't read it because most of you here know it. Talking about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As Christians, that's what you are supposed to be after Christ. Mark 16, 15 and 16. As Christians, you are supposed to be evangelistic after Christ. And then Revelation 2, 10 tells us, don't fear what we're going to suffer. And then at the end it says, but be faithful unto death. Your goal after Christ is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's to be evangelistic. It's to put God first, others second, and yourself third. Your goal after Christ is to be obedient and faithful until death. So let's look at your story as we close and we think about these parts. We all have the before Christ. And we all have a because of Christ. But my question this morning is this. What was your response to the because of Christ portion of your story? Did you respond like Paul with obedience? Did you arise and be baptized into the blood of Christ for the remission of your sins? Is that what you did because of Christ? If not, then your story has not turned around just yet. If not, then your story is still heading down the same path that it was before you ever heard about Jesus. And that is a path that is full of sin and error and misunderstanding. How are you going to respond this morning because of Christ? If you're not a New Testament Christian, then you can be this morning. You can come forward and confess Him as the Son of God. You can then be baptized into His blood for the remission of your sins. And your story can shift and turn around. Now let's look at the after Christ portion. Those of you that responded with obedience and are New Testament Christians, let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing this morning? Not, you know, how do you feel? How are you doing? How are you doing when it comes to being the salt and light of this world? How are you doing when it comes to being evangelistic and telling other people about Jesus? How are you doing when it comes to being faithful until this life is over? Those of you who have never obeyed the gospel, you come and you say, well, look, I don't think you understand what I've done. I don't think you understand the decisions that I've made. I don't think you realize how broken I am. I feel like I'm so broken that not even God can really fix my brokenness. Maybe some of you who are New Testament Christians this morning, maybe some of you are struggling because you know the decisions you made after Christ, and you know that they were not good decisions. And you feel like you've turned your back on God, and you feel so broken, and you wonder, how can God ever forgive me? How can God ever receive me back? In Japan, okay, teenagers, you know this. But in Japan, there is, basically they've made an art out of putting broken things back together. You might have heard of it. It's called kintsugi. That's probably not how you say it, but that's how I say it. It's called kintsugi. And basically, when things are broken, pieces of pottery or whatever, they take gold, real fine gold, and they fill the cracks of that broken pottery piece, and they put it back together. Not trying in any way to conceal the cracks or to hide the cracks at all, but to actually make it appear more valuable. And now this piece of pottery is more valuable because it does have the gold in those cracks. And not only is this piece of pottery put back together, but now you take the old story that led up to the breaking. Now it has a brand new story as this new piece of art. I want to show you some pictures of what this looks like. You see that? The gold, I know that's not the best picture in the world, but you can see the gold color there. That's real gold. This is where they take these pieces and they put them back together. And you can see that one as well. So now that gold shines through those cracks and makes this piece of art even more valuable than it ever was before it was broken. To those of you this morning who are struggling because you feel so broken, don't you realize that's exactly what the blood of Christ does? That it pieces us back together. It doesn't hide our cracks and our flaws. But rather, once we are put back together, now the blood of Christ and the light of Christ and the grace of God shine through those cracks in our art. Wherever we go, we shine the light of Christ because we are put back together with His blood. If you've been broken, guess what? Jesus offers to put you back together and to make you more valuable than you ever were before you were broken. What a powerful illustration when you think about our brokenness and Jesus putting us back together. You don't make your story impactful. Your highs and your lows don't make your story impactful. The great things you've been able to experience don't make your story impactful. Jesus Christ makes your story impactful. All of us in here have a different story, but all of us in here are united through Jesus Christ. And so when you think, well, my story sounds vanilla, no story's vanilla with Jesus. And as long as Jesus is part of your story, then you have something to share. And as a side note, how many of you wish you could be more evangelistic and talk to people about Christ, but you struggle with a conversation starter? Well, here's one on a silver platter. Just share your story and what Jesus has done for you. And this morning, if you feel broken and you need a change in your story, you need a turning point in your story, Jesus has offered the turning point, but you have got to be the one who rises up, who stands up and decides, if you're not a Christian, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or if you are a Christian and you're not living the right way, to make the decision to come home so that He can put you back together and you can go everywhere shining the light of Jesus. This morning, if you have any need, please come as we stand and as we sing.
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.